want to look at verses 14 through 25. I want to speak to you on the subject of triumph over trials. Triumph over trials. Let's stand together in honor of God's word. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that we may stand as faithful in the face of our trials as these 3 Hebrew boys. Lord, I pray that we would not see it as just blind faith, but faith in the promises of your word. You have told us that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You've told us to fear not, for you are with us and you are our God. Lord, I pray that we might take hold of those promises, so that the trials that come, and they will come, we might face holding to your unchanging hand. Lord, I pray this morning that you would remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Fill me with your Spirit. Lord, speak through me the message that you have for us today. Open our understanding that we may receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, most of you know the story, how that the king built a great statue, and that statue was to be worshipped by everybody in the kingdom. And anybody who did not worship that statue would be thrown into the fiery furnace, just to add a little incentive to it. But these 3 Hebrew children knew that there was only 1 God, and they were not to bow down to any god except him. And so they stood up, and you know, whenever you stand up and everybody else is on their face, you kind of stick out like a sore thumb. And whenever you live the Christian life today, and everybody else is going wild in sin, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. And people are going to see it. And they're going to criticize it. And they're going to ridicule it. But we have a God. And our God is watching over us and watching how we perform during times of trial. Now, I want to look at three things here about this passage that we just read. The first thing I want you to see is the furnace. Verse 14 and 15, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye worship my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now I want you to see here that this furnace that he had set up was a furnace that could kill people instantly. And he was threatening them. And a lot of people would say, well, they had no choice. They had to bow down because there was no choice. Folks, there's always a choice. And there's always a way of escape. These boys saw that God was going to deliver them. Either they're going to be able to stand the fire, or God's going to put the fire out, or else he's going to take them to heaven. One way or the other, they're delivered. It is faith in an unseen God that allows us to go through trials triumphantly. Those who say there is no God have nothing to put their trust in. But we who know that there is a God and that he loves us, and that he has saved us through his own blood, we know that he will deliver us from every trial. Now I want you to see, first off, that trials are sure. They're coming. Mark it down. You will have a trial. Right here this morning, everybody that's in this place has just either finished a trial, they're right in the middle of a trial, or they're about to go into one. You say, well, that's encouraging words. It's life. As long as you're in this world, there's going to be trials. But those trials are opportunities. It is opportunities to learn more about God. These three Hebrew boys learn more about Jesus in this time than any other time in their life. You will learn more about Jesus and how he delivers during your trials than any other time in your life. Listen to what John says in John 16, verse 33. These things, this is Jesus speaking, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He told them in another place, it is necessary that offenses come. Now, I always thought I could do without them, you know, but you can't. You've got to have those offenses. You've got to have those trials if you're going to grow in the Lord. And so he says, you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know what he means by that? There will never be a trial come in your life that Jesus can't handle. That's what he means. He's already victorious. He doesn't have to win a victory every time. He has already won the victory. All you have to do is enter into his victory. I want you to know that this furnace is symbolic. This is symbolic of all trials everywhere. God records things in his word as examples to us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14 says this, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Now you see, that is what trials is all about. When these three Hebrew children were threatened with this fire, it was a real trial for them. They didn't know if they were going to live or not. You see, they didn't have the rest of the chapter there to read like we can. They didn't know what God was going to do. You see, You can't put God in a box and say, when this happens, God will do this. When this happens, God will do that. You don't know what he's going to do. You have to take the same position that they took. This is our God. And they said, if he doesn't deliver us, here's our stand. That's where victory comes from. He says, they said, you know, God is able. The God we serve, he could turn the fire off. He can do anything he wants to do. But if not, understand this, we're not going to bow down. Why? Because God said not to. We don't have to know what God's going to do if we do what God tells us to do. We just do what God tells us to do and let God be God. Whatever he does, we learn from. When we pray and the answer doesn't come back exactly the way we prayed it, we just know that it got changed. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities because we don't always know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit interprets our prayers to God the Father in groanings that cannot be uttered because he knows what is the mind of God. Now, what does that mean? In simple terms, we come up on a situation, we come up on a trial, and we pray what we think is the best thing. We ask God to bring that about. If that's his will, he will bring that about. If not, the Holy Spirit translates that prayer into what God's will is in that situation, and that's what God brings about. All your prayers are always answered. They just may not be answered in the way you prayed it. It's kind of like you send a telegram and the telegrapher changes the message because he prays what is the mind of God. As we pray, we need to watch how God answers our prayers and we learn better how to pray. Because what we want to do is pray in the will of God, right? I wish that every time I had a trial, I knew exactly what God wanted me to do, or what he was going to do through that trial so that I could pray and see the answer come back just the way that I prayed it. And so here he says, don't think that it is a strange thing that comes to try you. God's told you it was coming. It's sure you're going to have problems all the time, and God wants to overcome your problems. You know, I was feeling real discouraged one time, and I was complaining to God. You ever do that? You know, when you pray, you just sort of complain to God, and woe is me. And Brother Steve never does that. But as I was talking to God and complaining, the Lord started reminding me of all the trials I had faced that he had delivered me from, time and time and time again. And I remembered what David said when he was going to face Goliath. And the king said, you just don't get it. This guy has been a soldier all of his life and you're just a kid. And David said, and listen to this, he was remembering, he said, I was keeping my father's sheep, and a bear came and took one of my little lambs. He said, I killed that lamb. I would kill that bear. He said, then a lion came and took one of my lambs, and I killed that lion. And then he gave God the credit. You know, the Bible says that we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. So David went back over this, and he acknowledged to the king. He said, now the Lord delivered that bear and that lion into my hand. And he will deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into my hand as well. Now, do you see a pattern there? If we never really get the benefit out of our trials, we have to repeat them. So whenever we see how God deals with our trials, we need to put that in the back of our mind so that whenever we face another trial, we can say, now, in this trial, this is what God did. And God will deliver again. Amen? Now, I want you to know, finally, in this point, that your trials are safe. I know you may not see that, but it's true. God arranges situations in our life And he has the solution worked out before he ever brings in the problem. He has everything under control. The trial that you're going through right now that is very heavy upon you, God has the solution already worked out, and he's going to solve that problem. The problem that you just came out of, write down what God did to deliver you from that. And the one you face tomorrow, don't go into it with fear, but go into it with faith, knowing that your God is greater than any trial you'll ever face. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation or trial taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Isn't that good? Yes, the trial is scary, but God says, there's an end to this. I've got it all worked out. It will pass. Now, sometimes the trial takes us to heaven. One of these days, God has delivered me from so many trials. One of these days, I'm going to face the one that's going to take me to heaven. I'm going to go to heaven expecting him to deliver me, because he always has. But you know, I'd rather face death that way. I'd rather face death thinking God's going to deliver me at any minute. And then when I wake up in heaven, I'll thank God that he didn't. Because that's when I'm finally going to have all my trials behind. Now I want you to see next in this passage, the fury. Isn't it funny how the world can turn so much fury onto our little problems? There's something bad about everything in the world now. Do you know that? If you eat too much pork, it'll kill you. If you have polyunsaturated fats, it'll kill you. If you do this, it'll kill you. Everything will kill you. There's always a problem from this world's perspective. But listen to this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace, one, 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hoses, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now I want you to see the fury here. The furnace was plenty hot enough to kill anybody. But when these boys said, our God is able to deliver us out of your hand, they scared the king. Did you see that? He told them, I want you to heat this one furnace 7 times hotter than it's supposed to be heated. That thing was jumping. And then he got the mightiest men in his army to tie them as tight as they could tie them and to throw them in. Now, fury is almost always the result of fear. Almost always. In my life, in your life, when we get afraid, we react in anger. We react in fury. But it's just a sign of fear. This old king didn't know what God was going to do. And so he wanted to make sure that his boast was going to stand up. Because these boys seemed to have something that they shouldn't have at this point, and that was peace. There's one thing that will confound the devil more than anything else is when you have peace. Right in the midst of the storm. When everything around you is falling apart, you still got peace. Well, where's that peace come from? It's from Jesus. You see, I don't know in any situation if God's going to let me die or let me live. I don't know that, but I do know this. I'm going to live forever. It's just a matter of where. And so we can face any trial, anything that God allows in our life, knowing he's either going to deliver us or take us to heaven. Isn't that good? God is going to deliver his people. And so we can rest in that. We can have the peace of God that passes understanding. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know when it's all said and done, he will be just as much God then as he is now. And God will overcome every trial. Now this fury, first off, was showy. He was putting on a show, wasn't he? Listen to what Jeremiah 1:8 says. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. You ever have people make faces at you? In their fury, they just kind of get that look, you know. I'm going to eat you for lunch. They have that look. God says, don't be afraid of their faces, because I'm with you to deliver you. You see, if God's for us, who can be against us? And so this trial has an end to it. It is safe. God is going to take care of the fury that comes along with it. Now, I want you to see next that it is scary. Even though it is showy, and that's all it is scary because we are human and we do suffer and we know that. Listen to Matthew 8, 23 through 27. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now I want you to see the picture here. Jesus has been preaching all day, and he gets on the boat, and these guys are sailors. They say, we got this. Go take a nap. So he goes, he lays down in the back of the boat, and he's sound asleep. And then this big storm comes up. Now, the storm was something that sailors always feared. The storm would just cover the boat, and the boat would sink. And they knew what the result was going to be, and so they ran to Jesus. They said, Lord, save us. We're dying here. We're going to all die right here in this little bitty boat in the middle of this storm. It's scary, isn't it? You ever been in a situation in your life where you were just scared? You say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know what the situation's going to do. It looks scary to me. I don't know how we're going to face it. Jesus said, oh, you've little faith. Why do you doubt? You can't sink the boat while Jesus is in it. And if you do, he'll bring it back up. See, Jesus wants them to understand. It doesn't matter whether he's taking a nap in the back of the boat or if he's standing up on the front of the boat or walking on the waves. He's got everything under control. And so he just rebuked the sea. And the Bible says, and there was a calm. I don't know if any of you have ever seen a storm on the sea, but it doesn't just calm down real quick. Even if the wind stops blowing, it's still got to slosh around a little bit. But here, when Jesus said, peace, be still, it was calm. And those sailors looked at what was going on. And they said, what manner of man is this? Now, you see what they gained from that? They would never have understood the power that Jesus has over the elements until they saw that. It was a tremendous blessing for them to see him calm the sea. I would love to see God do that, wouldn't you? Now, you may not ever be in a boat and have Have the Lord calm the sea? You may be. But I'll tell you this. You're going to go through trials in which the Lord will show himself strong. And when he does, you just need to realize who you serve. Scary is required for the benefit. Now understand that. If it doesn't scare you, it's not a trial. Whenever God turns the heat up enough that it gets your attention and it scares you a little bit, now you're in a position to see the fantastic power that God has. When it scares you, then you can say, oh boy, we got a front row seat for a miracle. The attitude makes all the difference in the world. When the children of Israel on the side of the Red Sea and the armies of Pharaoh was charging down on them with their chariots, they didn't have a chance of survival. There was no place to go. If they ran into the Red Sea, they're going to drown. If they stayed there, they were going to be killed. There was no hope. And so what did they do? They said, was there not enough graves in Egypt that you had to bring us out here to kill us? Their attitude was, the situation is too big for our God. Moses, on the other hand, saw the situation differently. He said, be still and see the salvation of the Lord. What's he saying with that? He knew God told them to go to that place. God had just delivered them from another trial. They were into the wilderness because he had set them free from Egyptian bondage through 10 plagues. And he knew God hadn't made a mistake. God didn't send them the wrong way. God didn't put them in a place that he couldn't deliver them from. And so he knew that God was going to do something wonderful because God had told him to take the children of Israel to that place. And he said, just be still. We got a front row seat here. We're going to see something. You're going to see something you've never seen before. And sure enough, God opened the sea. And they crossed on dry land. As they went across on dry land, I can just see those folks that were doubting in the first. All the way through, they were probably saying, I don't know how long this wind's going to hold up. We're going to drown just any minute now. But Moses was able to go across saying, what a mighty God we serve. You see the difference. How do you face your trials? Do you go through saying, this is going to get me in any minute now? Any minute now, my world's going to come crashing in. Or do you just say, what a mighty God I serve. Makes all the difference in the world. Then I want you to see that it is also satanic. James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says this, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You see, whenever we face fury, we need to understand that that is satanic. I don't care if it's a Christian that is furious with you. It's still satanic. We can give ourselves over to satanic influence, and we can do things that are absolutely satanic. And whenever that happens, we need to understand that we're not to respond in the same kind. The Lord says, resist not evil, but overcome evil with good. God says that we're not to strike back when people are trying to hurt us and scare us with their fury. Then I want you to see the last thing in this trial that these Hebrew children were facing, and that is fellowship. Listen to verse 22 through 25 of our text. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is likened to the Son of God. I like that. I believe what God is showing us here is that when we go through our trials, He's right there with us. When we face danger, He's right there with us. When we finally leave this world, God will be right there with us. He'll take us by the hand and will lead us out of this world into the world that we will be in forever and ever. Now, our fellowship needs to be a constant fellowship. Don't have your fellowship just be during the trials. You see, that's the secret. You need to walk with Jesus every day, and then when the trial comes, He's right there, and you know He's right there. And He'll be there whether you walk with Him every day or not. But you won't know it, and you won't get the benefit and the security unless you walk with Him all the time. In our walk, we ought to be in fellowship with God. Listen to what He says here, 1 John 1, 6-7. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Is that your walk today? Walking in fellowship with Him day in and day out keeps us clean. The way you know that is if your walk is dirty, you're not walking with the Lord. He says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we deceive ourselves. But if we walk in the light, we know when we're walking in the light and we know when we're walking in the darkness. And so if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with Him all the time, and His blood continually cleanses us from all of our sin. And whenever the trial comes, we know that He is right there. We don't have to look for Him. He's right there because He's been there all along. We are to have fellowship with Him in our will. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 says this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, our will is to be His will. Whatever His will is what we need to have is the will for our life. That's the reason in the model prayer He tells us to pray, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. If that is our will, then we are walking in fellowship with our will. Just as we can tell that we're out of fellowship with God in our walk, if we are walking in darkness, so we can tell if we are out of fellowship with God in our will, if we do not like what God brings into our lives. Because if it's our will to do the will of God, we will always have His will done in our life. And whenever we rebel, and whenever we begin to feel like we're being mistreated as God's children, we're not walking in fellowship with His will. The will of the Lord Jesus Christ took Him to the cross. The will of the Lord Jesus Christ took Him through all kinds of suffering. He told some of the people that wanted to come with Him, He said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God hath not where to lay His head. That was because He was walking in the will of the Father. And when we walk in the will of God, sometimes there's going to be suffering involved. But if we submit to that will, it is the safest place for us to be. And then it ought to be evident if we're in fellowship with God in our witness. Listen to what He says in 1 Peter 3, 15-16. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Whenever we sanctify the Lord God in our heart, and we walk in fellowship with Him, and we walk in fellowship with His will, then we have sanctified the Lord God in our heart. In other words, we are completely submitted to Him. And it's going to stick out. These three Hebrew children stuck out like a sore thumb. We need to stick out like a sore thumb. In a world that is given over to darkness, we need to be light. We need to be salt. And when we are, people are going to wonder why. And He says that we are to be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. This morning, I want you to think with me. Those of us who are going to go to heaven not because we are good, but because God's grace is sufficient. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He was buried, and the third day He rose from the grave, and He lives forever. And He has made salvation a finished work, and so He can offer it as a free gift to anybody who will call upon His name. And if we call upon His name, He will save us. We try to live right. We try to do all that we know to do right in this world. But our salvation is not helped one bit by our goodness. Our salvation is complete in Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that. If you're here and you have never received Christ as your Savior, let me tell you something. It's not about turning over a new leaf. It's about trusting the finished work of Jesus on the cross and putting your trust in Him and Him alone. Maybe you're here and you know in your heart that God has something that He wants you to do, but you've not yet done it. You need to surrender to that. Whatever the Lord would say to you, let Him have His way. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before Your throne. We thank You for Your love and Your mercy and Your goodness to us. Thank You for free salvation. Lord, You have told us that whosoever will, let them drink of the water of life freely. And Lord, we open up the water of life to them. And Father, I pray that You would speak to that heart as near as tail, that they might find refuge in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.